Hi, it's Nadine Peart here and welcome to Healthy You, Healthy Love. Today we're going to be talking about conflict to cuddles. And this is such a wonderful topic because so many relationships fall apart because of conflict. And let's face it, when you're relating and when you're dating, there's always a lot of uncertainty. Well, there can be. And it's because your one person, that person in front of you that you care about, is another. And we have different ideas and different perspectives on things, and sometimes we clash. So we're going to be breaking things down, and I'm going to be giving you some awesome tips to bring a relationship closer, to create intimacy, love and connection, and to bring more cuddles into the connection, into your dating and relating, because this is great for someone who's new into a relationship, something early, or someone who's been in a relationship for a while. So hold tight. So have you ever been with someone where you just adore them on so many levels, yet you seem to be conflicted a lot? There seems to be tension. There seems to be points of contention that regularly arise. You may find them sexy. You may think they're funny. You may even have things in common. Yet when it comes to communicating about things that are a little bit sticky or a little bit stressful, you have a very different way of approaching these things. So this is very common. So we're going to be talking about that. And let me assure you that there are certainly ways that you can diffuse that and create more love and intimacy. So even as a dating and relationship coach, I too have to know how to do this in my relationships, because even this is not just about a lover or a lifelong partner. We relate with people day in, day out, people at work, family, friends, the bus driver, your on-site manager in your building, your neighbors, and the way that we communicate and relate will have a very, very strong effect on these relationships. So we're going to be breaking this down, and so I really want you, if you're single at the moment, you can start practicing what I'm speaking and talking about with anybody. So let's face it. We've all said things we wish we hadn't. We've all blamed people and wish we hadn't. We've also been blamed, shamed, ridiculed, put down by people. It happens. And the thing is that it's easy to say, oh, you know, other people are doing it, but it's possible we all do actually contribute to the way that we communicate. And sometimes we actually have no idea that we're saying certain things and doing certain things. We can't see ourselves. When we get caught up in something where we're really upset about something, or we're triggered, or we're emotionally engaged in something, we can lose our sense of rationality and we can create more problems, bigger problems than what the issue actually was to begin with. So this works both ways. And there's plenty of people listening to this that sometimes catch themselves with this insane levels of jealousy or neediness or insecurity and self-doubt. And I want to assure you that we all do experience levels of this from time to time. But the thing is that, are you regulating these things? Are you able to look at these feelings, these emotions, from an objective point of view? And this leads me to the number one thing. So there is one thing that allows people to cultivate a more connected relationship. And the one thing that allows people to move from conflict to cuddles and intimacy is emotional stability and awareness. If you want to have a beautiful, loving, warm, gorgeous connection with someone, and if you want to be able to move through your challenges with relative ease and allow the relationship to grow through these challenges and to become closer, then both of you need to have emotional stability and awareness. In fact, you can have the perfect man in front of you as far as interest, personality, and attraction is concerned, but if one or both of you are emotionally unstable, then guess what happens? Conflict is created. So it's one or both of you. You've got a better chance at resolving conflict if one of you is more emotionally stable than the other. And there'll be times when one of you is. Like, we're not perfect human beings, we are triggered. Things happen. And if one of you can hold it together, then you have a chance of moving through it. Though, having said that, if the other person is completely unstable and is always finding issues and drama in the relationship, then it's going to actually make it very difficult, because someone, both of you have to have pretty much a decent level of emotional stability for a relationship to prosper and develop. That's why healthy relationships just don't happen. It's out of conscious choice to want to grow and develop, and we're going to talk about that shortly. So the fact is that conflict actually begins within you. Sure, there's two people relating to each other, though the conflict normally isn't resolved within ourselves. So we're having an issue in our relationship. Normally there's a tug of war going on within ourselves that is not being addressed correctly before we actually speak. And this tug of war stems from our self-worth. So if we're struggling in a relationship, then normally we've got something going on with our worth. We're taking things personally. We're being triggered. We're feeling insecure, inferior. So therefore we become reactive in some way. So in my program, Never Lose Him, there's a lot of information there about your self-worth, because no one can take your worth away from you. So when you really understand that you are a whole human being, that no one can take anything away from you, that you're not less or more valuable based on anything that anyone else does, then you actually put to bed this tug of war. Like, it no longer, there's no longer this constant battle within, because you can actually resolve your triggers within yourself. Normally first you can recognize them, and then you don't need to act out in order to try and compensate for these insecurities, these fears, and etc. And when you resolve this inner turmoil within you in an effective way, then you bring harmony into your life in general and into your relationships. So if you don't have this happening within you, then you won't know how to do the following. And some of these things are thinking before you speak. How many times have we heard someone say that? Maybe we say it to people, think before you speak. Yet so many people don't think in an effective way before they speak. Of course they're thinking, because if they weren't thinking, they wouldn't have anything to have conflict about. So they've got thoughts running in their brain, but they're not necessarily thinking in an effective fashion. So that's something that we're going to talk about. If you were thinking a little bit more clearly, if you were more emotionally stable, then you probably wouldn't pick fights. You'd actually learn to communicate in an effective way. For those of you who aren't emotionally kind of stable and aware, sometimes you don't speak up at all. You end up being a bit of a doormat in a relationship, and instead tension builds, resentment, and even illness. You'd be amazed by the dis-ease that is built when we aren't clear, when we're holding anger, when we're holding resentment. It's really unhealthy for our bodies and our relationships, as well as passive-aggressive behavior is also in that band. It's not worse or better. In some ways, I think it is worse, actually, than expressive anger, because passive anger can really eat away at a relationship. It's like this constant punishment, and the person who is actually delivering the passive behavior, or the passive aggressive behavior, should I say, isn't being honest about what they're really feeling. They have fear about expressing themselves and actually asking for what they want. They have fear of expressing what really matters to them and how they're really feeling, and it creates this punishment, and it's very unhealthy. And look, conversely, I will say that as much as this talk is not about whether you are compatible with your partner, but sometimes you can actually really adore someone and you can be compatible on certain levels, but when it comes to communicating and relating, you can be so worlds apart that you're never going to be in a healthy relationship together. You'll have such little moments of the relationship being great, but if there's abuse, if there's a lot of anger that's unaddressed and the other person is unwilling because they don't want to be emotionally stable and they don't want to have that awareness, then you've really got to ask yourself if your values are actually too far off. Because if you do want that emotional stability and you do want to be in a healthy relationship and someone really isn't invested, then there is a problem. And therefore, there's conflict no matter what. However, as I said earlier, this will definitely help you with those situations. So let's get started. So what are some of the behaviors and ways of thinking of an emotionally healthy person? So one of the things that really needs to be activated if you want to have more cuddles than conflict is getting to the point where you can stop long enough to understand or get honest about the real issue. So what is really going on? Why are you annoyed, angry, pissed? Why are you irritable, frustrated with this person? Why do you feel sad? Why do you feel jealous? Like, what is the real issue here? And if we're in a relationship with someone who's a bit of a narcissist or manipulative, they're very good at turning around things to make out that you're the one that's going crazy and that you're the one who has issues. I remember when I was 18, I was dating a man who was quite a lot older than me. My mother was having kittens over this. And he was my second boyfriend after a previously long-term relationship, and longish term anyway for an 18-year-old. And he was so good at trying to turn things on me. And I recognized that early on, and I knew that we were not going to be great for a long-term relationship because he was a master manipulator. He never wanted to take responsibility for anything. So you've got to be able to look out for these behaviors and also recognize them in yourself. I mean, you don't have to be a master manipulator to try to want to change someone's mindset to think and believe what you're saying at all times. I mean, yes, that is one of the other issues, is wanting to be right, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So what is the real issue? Okay. So the second point is knowing what you actually want. So what do you really want? Do you want love, or do you want to be right? Do you want to win something? Do you want the other person to feel less and to feel insecure and to feel like shamed and blamed? Or do you want to actually build a loving connection? When you answer these questions, then you'll get an idea of what you actually want, which will then create different outcomes in the way that you communicate. And before you say one word, did you know that your facial expressions can actually say a lot more? So passive-aggressive behavior can also be a lot about body language and facial expressions. And Dr. Albert, I think it's called Mehrabian, is the author of Silent Messages, and he conducted several studies on nonverbal communication, and he found that 7% of any message is conveyed through words. So only 7%. 38 is through certain vocal elements, which links to tone. And 55 of communication is nonverbal, so facial expressions, gestures, and postures. So much of what is not actually spoken is communicated largely. So that's 93% of communication is nonverbal or non-messages specific. So what are you not saying, but what are you saying through other ways? And it's really important that we keep neutral facial expressions. Someone who's emotionally stable will, even though they're thinking certain things, they're able to be more rational and they're able to be more neutral until they've got all the information, until they've heard everything before they actually respond. Okay? They're able to process things in a more healthy fashion. So, I mean, how many times do we see facial expressions from someone that we're having troubles with and they're not speaking, but they're basically disregarding everything we're saying, and they're being quite aggressive, but they're doing it in a more passive, nonverbal way. So that is huge. Also, ego, blame and shame. So your ego, our ego can wreak havoc. The more stable you are, the more healthy you are emotionally, the less ego you will throw around. And ego comes with controlling and power playing. So if you want to have a healthy, loving connection, then you've got to stop power playing and you've got to get over the ego. You've got to be believing you're worth enough to not feel like you need to play games to actually have the relationship that you want. Because to have a healthy relationship, both people need to contribute, work together, share and care. And blaming and shaming another is all about control. And it's not about harmony and kindness and love. So you've got to snap out of the cycle. So you may have heard this before. A lot of these things that I'm sharing with you aren't necessarily things you haven't heard. Yet most people don't act on the things they've heard. Like, what is it going to take for you to want to break the cycle? And as I said before, the power and control, you cannot have a healthy, loving connection and move towards the cuddle side of a relationship when you're trying to prove something all the time. It's just, if you need to be right, if you've got that really strong lens of needing to be or have the upper hand, your relationship is going to fail. And it's likewise, you know, with your partner. If your partner is in that mindset and you both get into a battle, then it is detrimental. So how do we break this cycle? How do we put an end to the pain and the shame and the guilt and the blame and move into love and connection? The first way to do that is to start moving into your heart. When we're feeling conflicted, we're normally a little bit out of our bodies. We can tend to go sometimes into fight and flight. Our adrenaline is sort of pumping, particularly if we're really in a point of conflict. Other times, it's that constant eating away at us, like something in the relationship is just giving us the, give us the shits, excuse my language, and we are constantly feeling a bit aggravated. So how do we break that? And that is, as I said, to get into your heart. We've got to get into our body. We've got to actually learn to sit with ourselves, to really start communicating with ourselves with the love and kindness that we want. It's very hard to communicate what we really want and how we really feel when we're not really honest with ourselves. So if someone is doing something and we're taking it really personally, then it's within you, there's a part of you that's feeling neglected, rejected, attacked maybe, disregarded. And the truth is that the way someone treats you largely has nothing to do with you. The way that someone treats you largely has nothing to do with you. It has more to do with how they feel about themselves and relate to people in general. If someone is moody, and if you're moody, if you tend to be aggressive in your behavior, that is more about what's going on inside of you. If you feel the need to yell and scream at someone or your partner does, then that is more about what's going on within you. Sure, you can be angry and frustrated with someone, but it's not that you're angry and frustrated. It's why, as I said before, finding out what is going on within you and then learning how to articulate your needs, your values, your wants, your priorities in a way that is heartfelt, honest, clear, and graceful. So you've got to get into your body and stop being out of your body. We all hold a lot of tension in our stomachs as well. And that's where we hold a lot of judgment, judging ourselves and others. We've got to try and soften that part of our bodies. Put our hand on our heart and talk from the heart. Soften our throat chakra, the third eye where we, you know, can really beam in on things. Soften that. Ground and center. Like there's 7 key chakras. Do some research on that. I could do a whole audio on this, but I don't have time to do that today. But get connected to your body. Feel your feet on the earth. Be confident. Be courageous enough to be honest with your own heart. And to know that people aren't generally intentionally trying to hurt you. And if they are, then why would you want to be with that person? That is about them. It's not about you. It's about their desire for control and manipulation or to put people down. It's not about you, okay? So you've got to get really, really clear about that. So when you know that, the way that you articulate, the way that you communicate will be more heartfelt, be more honest, will be more, will allow for more intimacy, which creates more tenderness, kindness, and connection. All right? So this moves me now to humility and vulnerability. You've got to have these traits, and this links back into the heart grounding work. This links back into, you know, my first point, which is about, you know, getting to the real core issue, getting to know what you really want. Think before you speak, like what is really going on inside of you. So humility is something that is so important, and I can't stress this enough. If you don't feel comfortable showing humility, it means you're also not comfortable with vulnerability. They go hand in hand. So and the more confident you are, the easier it is to show vulnerability and humility. Because for me to admit that I've done something that I wish I hadn't is showing humility. But I also need to be okay with being vulnerable and admitting that I may have stuffed up, to admit that I'm not perfect, to admit that sometimes I get confused, to admit sometimes that I made maybe a mistake. I wish I hadn't done something that I did. I wish I could take back those words I said to you, and I'm so sorry. I realize that I was kind of power playing. I realized that I was trying to hurt you because I was feeling insecure. I realize that sometimes I act without thinking, and I know that I need to work on that. I would love to work on that with you, darling or sweetie. I know that my behavior is sometimes hurtful, and I really want you to know that it's not about you. That is showing humility and vulnerability. That is letting someone know that you're not perfect. Then how do you think the other person feels when you're able to express that? All of a sudden they think, ah, I feel acknowledged. I feel like I'm not going crazy. I'm feeling like this person is able to work with me. This is huge. Really, really, really important. And I actually get goosebumps when I talk about this topic because no relationship can survive without this. Find a way to be kind to your own heart, which allows you to be kind to another. Kindness just doesn't happen. Kindness and being thoughtful and caring is a conscious choice. And why are we doing it? Are we doing it to control and manipulate? Then that becomes a problem. That kind of then takes you back into the ego and power playing and control-based behavior. You've got to see relationships as a big picture. I don't believe in, you know, the word sacrifice. I sacrifice going to that to make you happy. No, no, no. You don't say that to a partner. You don't think like that. I decided to not go out with whoever it was or go to this event because I really wanted to support you, which means you're supporting the relationship. Sometimes you have to say no to certain things. Sometimes you can't do things. But think about the greater picture of the relationship. Are both of you being kind and caring towards each other? Do both of you have healthy boundaries? Do both of you give and take, you know, in a sort of level way, in a healthy way? So if you want to move from conflict to cuddles, then learn to have humility and vulnerability. You've got to have these traits. This will absolutely bring you closer together. Also, humor. Humor is another really important way. Now, humor is terrible if you're someone who's always laughing at everything and is never taking anything seriously. Humor is not your friend when you're that person. Though humor is brilliant if you're a person that takes things so seriously all the time. Start laughing at your intensity. Start laughing at your insecurity. Start making fun of the stuff that we can take so seriously. One, instead of getting really intense with your partner and you're in the kitchen, you're arguing about something, laugh. My God, what is going on? I'm getting upset with you because you're not cutting the tomatoes the way I want you to, or you're not folding the laundry the way I ideally think it should be folded. know, we have these ideas of how everything should be and must look like. Can we add some humor? Laugh. Oh my God, can you believe we're fighting about this? This is hilarious. Sweetie, let's not fight. Let's just take a breather. One of your biggest allies is just taking a break from the situation and really giving it some thought without acting sometimes. Another great tip to move from conflict to cuddles is to pick your battles. Not everything has to be an issue. If you want to find fault in your partner, you will find fault every day, 10 times a day if you really want to. But what really matters and what doesn't? You've got to know. Got to know how to discern what really matters and what's not that important. This is why it's so important to manage your emotions and express them in a really healthy way. One way that you can do that is you can start speaking in a way that you own your emotions. So you're not telling someone what they should be thinking, what they're thinking, or what you believe they are thinking. The best way to communicate and overcome conflict is to, one, invite the person that you're in conflict with, your partner, your boyfriend, whoever it is, you invite them into a conversation. And I write this in my books. I've done blog posts about this topic. It's so important. You can say, hey, I'm feeling really troubled about something or something that happened the other day and I feel like I'm starting to go into passive aggressive and I don't want to do that and I'd love to talk to you about it. How do you feel about that? Most people, when they're approached with that, they'd say, sure, let's talk about it tonight. Let's talk about it in the morning. Let's talk about it whenever. You'll work out a time. Or right there and then could be the perfect time. Invite them. Hey, babe, I'd love to talk about this. I feel like I'm getting really funny and angry or agitated and I don't want to. And I'd just love to discuss this with you. Are you open to that? Okay, so invite someone into conversation. And when you do start speaking, no blaming, no shaming. Hey, sweetie, this is something that's come up for me. And I'm feeling this. My perspective is this, not you're doing this and I think this is why you're doing it. Or when you do that, this makes me feel like this. You know, don't blame them. Don't make them responsible for your feelings. Say, when this happened, I felt like this. I'm starting to feel really yucky about something that was said the other day. Or when we were out with your friends on the weekend or last night or today, I know it might be in my head, but I felt really disregarded. Or I started to feel jealous when you didn't, you know, come over and speak to me for most of the day. And I really love that we can go to an event together and we can do our own things, but sometimes I feel like we're so separated. And I don't know if it's my thing or that's something that we could work on or maybe talk about because I'm starting to feel doubtful and I haven't said something, you know, for the last sort of four times we've gone out, but I've noticed this. How much better is it to say that? How much more effective is it to say that than saying, oh, when we were out yesterday, you were speaking to, you know, your mates the whole time and I don't think you care about me. If you really cared about me, then you would spend more time with me when we're out. I mean, that's jealousy. That's projecting something onto them and you don't know that to be true. They just may think that you are 100% capable of doing your own thing. Of you might tend to walk away from them a lot and they might think the same thing. You don't know what they're thinking, what they're feeling. Maybe they just want to give you space. Maybe they're just not aware of it. And just by knowing how you're feeling in a healthy way, you can talk about it and resolve it. It doesn't have to always be conflict. When you get clear about how you're really feeling, then it just makes life and relationships so much easier. So next I'm going to talk about some words to avoid when you are communicating in your relationship. Though before we do that, I wanted to share something really fascinating. I don't know if you've heard about a study, or there were actually lots of studies done in the 70s, 80s and 90s by a man called John Gottman. He's a psychologist and in the 70s, this kind of a group of social scientists began to do a lot of research on why there was such a huge increase of men and women and couples divorcing. And one of the key psychologists or the key researchers with this study in the 1970s was John Gottman. And John Gottman continued to study and do research and joined forces with his wife, who's also a psychologist. And what they found is that the number one factor that will deteriorate a relationship is contempt. So contempt is huge. When your partner is always looking to criticize and put you down, or you often criticize and put your partner down, then as I've said to you before, the relationship is set to fail. And what John and Julie Gottman discovered was that there were two types of couples. The masters were the ones that survived and didn't divorce and were happy, and the disasters. Okay, and so the masters were kind to each other, caring, thoughtful. When someone was speaking or making a comment like, oh, what do you think of the new chairs, or what do you think of my shirt? And if you just ignore them and don't look up and actually give them attention, then you're kind of a little bit dismissive and you're not actually connected. So when someone's speaking to you and asking you a question or sharing something, what do you do? Are you acting in the disaster category or the master category? Are you present, looking up, getting some eye contact? Are you keeping your head down, looking at your phone, watching TV, or even saying, oh God, can you tell me later? Or I'm busy right now. Or, oh yeah, yeah, whatever. And it doesn't feel like the person really cares. So that was like an example of the difference between a master couple and the disaster couple. Was very, very interesting. So the disaster couple would be very much, dismissive, where the masters are attentive. So this is about turning towards, engaging, looking at your partner, caring what they have to say, truly acknowledging your partner is perfect. Now you can also say something nice, but you're still not present. You could say, like, it's a kind of a typical thing where the wife will ask the husband something and the husband's head's down reading the paper and will say, lovely darling, that's wonderful darling, and really may have actually heard what she said but has not actually acknowledged her. So this is where we can get a bit lazy, and then we can kind of feel like we're not really being acknowledged. So acknowledgement and caring and sharing is so very important. For example, I had a client who came to me and he was sharing with me that as much as he was really into and attracted to his girlfriend, they had a lot of conflict. And he actually brought up something that was quite interesting. He said, she never asks me about my day. And when I do talk about my work, she never asks any question. So he did say the word never, and I'm going to talk about the word never in a little while. Though most of the time he felt that she was not engaged and he was really feeling upset about it. And he was sharing that he has a female friend that will always ask him, so how's work, or how did that contract go? He was in real estate. He is in real estate. And would, like, you know, did those people end up signing on that house? On, you know, did you come to an agreeable offer or whatever it was? But, and so he was sharing that he's got a female friend that's far nicer and sweeter to him, and his girlfriend just didn't seem to care. And it was something that was really eating at him, and he couldn't understand that if you really love someone and you really care for someone, that you wouldn't be interested. Yeah. So these are like little things that make a difference, and if they're not addressed, they create conflict. So this is not just about dealing with conflict at the time. I've given you some tips for that. There are ways to stop conflict from happening. How mindful and caring and thoughtful are you? How do you, when you're tired and you're stressed and you feel crappy after a busy day, what do you do for each other? Is he supportive of you? Are you supportive of him? Do you know how to articulate that? Are you sometimes just a little bit crappy in your behavior and a little bit dismissive when you don't really need to be? Because if you want to be in a healthy relationship, we sometimes have to just push ourselves and just make that effort. I have caught myself out many a time where I've wanted to say something to somebody, like I've been annoyed, and I've been frustrated, and I just come back into my heart and I think about it and I think, gosh, if I say that, this could happen. If that will happen. Oh my God, it's going to cause more problems. What's the real issue? It's really important to do a self audit before you speak to get to the core of the issue. Am I just being lazy? Why am I in a bad mood? Why am I not making an effort? And if you are really exhausted, sick and tired, you talk to your partner about it. And if they're an attentive person, then they probably won't bring up certain things when you're actually sick or you had a really bad day. They'll be mindful of that and talk to you about it and ask you what you need. It works both ways. You know, get your partner to listen to this. This is not just about you changing. It's about both of you being aware and mindful. This isn't just about men or women dating men. It's not about wronging males or wronging a woman. Like, we just need to communicate more. And men can be great communicators as well as women. And just because a woman is communicating, it doesn't mean that she's clear about how she's feeling. And vice versa. Just because you're angry and shouting certainly doesn't mean that you're clear. Definitely actually doesn't mean that you're clear about what you're thinking and feeling. It means that you're triggered and you're upset and you're angry. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're dealing with the core issue. Love and compassion is the answer here. There is nothing wrong with telling a partner that you're not coping with something. If you've got kids and family and you're dealing with financial stress and all these things, it impacts on your life. Yeah, and you've got work and you've got to clean the house and all these things. Though most women, a lot of women, are often naggy and they don't clearly state what they need. Just get clear about what you really want. Don't expect your partner to know how you're thinking or feeling. And we, even in the early stages of dating and relationships, if you're very confused about what a guy's thinking or where he's at, then you can process that first. Is it insecurity and self-doubt that's unnecessary? Is it too soon to say something to them? Or early on and their behavior is weird, you can just say, hey, I'm feeling a little confused. I really like you. I'm just not sure if we're on the same page. You know, it's okay if we're not, but I'd love to know. I don't want to marry you tomorrow, but I'm looking for a relationship. And if it's with you or somebody else, you know, I'd just love to know if you're on the same page. It doesn't have to be us, but is that what we both want, ultimately? Love to get to know you, but I'm feeling, that there is some inconsistency here. A healthy-minded guy will love that. If he's not healthy, if he's not able to have an emotionally effective connection, then he won't like it, and that's okay. As long as you do it from the heart and you do it from a place of wonder versus wronging and insecurity and neediness, then it's brilliant. So to wrap this up, let's talk about the last point, which are words and things that you can say that are really unhealthy for a relationship and the reasons why. So every now and again when I've been speaking on this topic today, I've said sometimes the words like never and always. And it's something that we can say a lot and get caught up in. If you're in a relationship and you're wanting to negotiate or talk about something and you tell your partner that they always do something or they're never doing something that you'd like, you're always speaking down to me, you never help me with the kitchen. It's probably not true that they're always doing something and they're never doing something. So that's really mindful. It feels like you're always doing it. And I know it's not that. I know that you do help me from time to time. You can even package it like that. Or I've noticed that I'm feeling a bit annoyed because I feel, from my perspective, that I'm doing a lot more. And I know that you've got stresses with your work. I'm just feeling like I'm probably overdoing and I have a habit of overdoing. And I'd love some help. Can we work something out? That's very different to telling someone they never do something. As soon as you say that, they'll get defensive and it stops flowing communication, okay? Another word is to say something and the word but. I love you, but. You're great, but. Don't use the word but. Use the word and. I love this about you and it would be really great if we could work on our communication. I love spending time with you. And at the same time, I feel like I'm not getting time for myself. I feel guilty if I want to see my girlfriends. I feel guilty if I want to go into yoga class when we could be spending time together. And I'm challenged with that. Do you see the difference? And so use the word and to link things together. Also, avoid name calling. Please don't call your partner stupid, dumb, a dickhead, a loser, any other words you can think of. There's plenty more that I could be sharing here. And you know, some of those words start with F. So don't use them. They break down the relationships. They criticize. They ruin communication. So avoid them at all costs. Also saying it's not my problem. You know, you're in a relationship together. Sure, you want them, your partner, to be responsible and to also contribute in the relationship, though you're working together as a team. So saying, oh, it's not my problem, it's yours, then it kind of, it's a blame kind of phrase. So avoid that. If you say to someone, it's your fault, don't tell someone it's their fault. Talk about it openly. Try not to tell someone to shut up. No one likes being told to shut up. Just ask them if you could speak or let them finish. Sometimes it's not that they're over-speaking. It's sometimes that you just are so hell-bent on getting out what you want to say that you're actually not listening to them either. So just be mindful of that word as well. There are other ways of saying things. I remember, so you can even not be having an argument. You could be over-talking or talking over something when someone's doing something. And I remember an ex-boyfriend used to say to me, be shushy. Was his way of saying, can you just be quiet for a second while I finish something? Now, this is not meant to contradict what I said before. Sometimes, you know, we do walk in on someone in the middle of something and they can't speak to us straight away. So he would go, oh, be shushy for a second. And particularly good for someone who is a big speaker and sometimes never is quiet, which I'm probably better than I used to be. But yes, I could sometimes be a bit of a talker. So that's a really nice way of doing it. There's also things like calling people fat or ugly. Don't put them down. Don't comment on someone's physicality, on their aesthetics, when you're feeling like you just want to be horrible to them. Don't tell them that they've got a big fat belly and they're ugly. It's just not a nice thing to do. Another thing to avoid is actually bringing up the word breakup or divorce or separation. If you keep throwing words around like that, then you start actually preempting it more. So don't use the word breakup, divorce as a threat. If you believe in the relationship, you don't need to say those kind of things. And you can just talk about how, you know, be solution focused and don't use threats. Also, if someone has shared something with you and they've spoken about your partner in a maybe negative way, or you've shared with someone a struggle that you're having and someone has agreed with you, like their sister or their mother or a mate, do not use that. Talk from your own perspective. Don't say, oh, you know, your mother told me that she agreed with me, or that you used to do that when you were little, or your mate also thinks that you can be pig-headed or stubborn. You know, talk to him from your own perspective. Otherwise, get a counselor or a therapist in. You know, don't use other people to fight your battles, because it then breaks down the relationship they have with other people and it creates tension in your social life as well and in your family life. Also saying, I think we should talk, or we need to talk. They're at work and you send them a message, or you call them and you tell them that you need to talk. It's like torture. Have you ever had someone say that to you? It's horrible. So just instead, talk about it at the time, or talk to them about it when they're in front of you that you'd love to talk about it. And then, as I said before, work out a time to talk. But don't use it like a power play. It's really, really horrible. Also, another one is telling someone to get out. I know a girl that used to live with a guy, and he'd often, in an argument, tell her to get out of his house and leave. Now, they lived together, and he would use the power play because he owned the house, and he would tell her to get out, when in actual fact, you know, they weren't going to break up. It was just this constant, like, crazy arguing. And it was really mean. Don't do that. So if you own a house or your boyfriend has moved in with you, unless it's a deal breaker, then, and he's, like, physically abusive or verbally abusive, then even then, you know, you need to get to a safe place yourself and actually not be in that relationship. So that's really important. Now, the last, very last thing I want to say is just know when you need to get professional help. Yes, you can work on things, and there are so many things and tips and tools I've given you today in this lesson, though there are plenty of times where people just need some extra help. So know when that time is, and also be aware of your deal breakers. As I just mentioned, abuse is never healthy, emotional or physical abuse. If you don't feel safe emotionally with someone or physically with someone, then you need to get safe. Yeah. And don't wait for something to get so bad. And, you know, walking away from an emotionally charged environment is important. And even in little basic, simple agreements that aren't necessarily abusive, just know when to walk away and then come back when you both are no longer heated and stressed and easily triggered. So it's been a pleasure. And if you really want to have a loving, lasting relationship, then follow what I shared, even about that study with the Gottman. Are you a master in your relationship, or are you a disaster? So know the difference. It's awesome. Like, this stuff is amazing information. How brilliant is it that you can just change a couple of things, little things daily, and create more intimacy, move a relationship from conflict to cuddles? So I've given you over 14 great tips there. So use them, practice them, and break your cycle. And I know I've seen relationships transform almost overnight by changing. So just choose one of these things today. I hope you wrote down some notes. Write them down. Listen to this again. Just choose one thing, then another thing, and then it'll all start coming together. And normally when we work on one thing, then all of a sudden it works on others. So if you work on your need to control and your ego stuff and your self-worth, then all of a sudden you learn to speak more from the heart and you get more honest with yourself, and then you're able to communicate more effectively. So it all is interrelated. So it's not a big deal. Just start one of them, and all of a sudden you'll notice how differently you communicate and connect with your partner or anybody. So it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here with me. I've loved sharing this information with you, and may you continue to grow your connections and your intimacy and the love that you want, and move from conflict to cuddles. Thank you.